I figure that's a good way to get people's attention for the pastor to say he has a secret passion. I have a copy of my secret passion here. I love crosswords, but not just any crossword, it's cryptic crosswords. Do you know cryptic crosswords? Cryptic means hidden or secret. So the clues are very cleverly arranged in all sorts of ways that the answers are hidden in them. They're not obvious answers, and so you have to learn a whole bunch of rules, and you often have to learn the way that the compiler of the crossword is thinking to begin to access how they ask the questions and what they're looking for. And I've been doing these for a number of years. I figure actually that it's one way of trying to avoid going senile when I get older. So I'm trying to keep the old grey cells going. Cryptic crosswords. What you're searching for is you're searching for the solution to the puzzle, a word puzzle. And I figure actually that that's a bit like life itself, isn't it? The greatest puzzle of all is actually life. How do we discover the answers to life? How do we discover the answers to the great questions of life? Are we even seeking them? I think one of the great tragedies is that we live in a world where life is a huge mystery, but so often people aren't even asking the questions or seeking, but there's a sort of a kind of an instinctive reflex action to just live through life without ever asking, why am I here? Who am I? What is a human being? Why this amazing creation called a human being? Why this amazing thing called planet Earth? Why this amazing thing called history? Society and civilization and relationships. What's the answer to all of these? Why these things? These great puzzles of life. Well, I want to suggest what I always suggest and what the scripture suggests is that there is a solution to the puzzle of life. But the answer isn't just words. The answer isn't simply a philosophy. It isn't even an idea or even a religion. It may be all of those things in a sense, but ultimately and supremely the answer to the great questions of life is found in a person. The person that the scriptures present, that Paul in this passage presents, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came into the world and took on human flesh, is the answer to the puzzles of life. The one beyond ideas and philosophies and religions, he is the one who can actually be known personally and fully and completely trusted for all the answers of life and for our own future and eternity. It is Jesus Christ. In this passage, Colossians 2, 1 to 5, Paul is, in this letter to the Colossians, he just keeps talking about the importance of Christ, centrality of Christ, his supremacy and his sufficiency. And here in chapter 2, he focuses on him in two key ways. In verse 3, he says that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then in verse 6, he says, basically, if Jesus is the treasure house of all wisdom and knowledge, then live your life in him. See what he says in verse 6? Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. If he is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge, then live your life in him. So those two things, that's what I want to talk about this morning, that he's the treasure house of knowledge and the sure and certain foundation for life. But who is he? Again, let me just remind you of something that Paul said about Christ prior to this. In chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, these peerless words concerning him, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means firstborn there is supreme, number one, over all creation. Four, see, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The supreme Lord Jesus Christ, yet the glory of the gospel is that he is truly knowable. And we can trust our whole life to him. See, this is a call again. It's a call, as Paul writes, to believers, but also to those who don't, may not yet know or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to consider Christ again. For all of us, he can be kind of sidelined. We live our lives like an old-fashioned office with all these pigeonholes that we put stuff in. And Christ is one of those pigeonholes. But Paul is calling to us to say, look at who he is and make him everything. Paul is so motivated to write this home in our lives. Remember, we've talked about Paul's testimony about his own suffering. In verse 24, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In verse 29, I toil, struggling, agonizing with all his energy that powerfully works within me. Verse 1 of chapter 2, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. Why is he so exerting himself? Why is he so willing to suffer? It's because he knows who Jesus Christ is, and he knows that we need to know him and see that he is the storehouse of all wisdom and knowledge, that he's the one we can base our life on. It's fascinating again to remember that Paul, who was so motivated to proclaim Christ to us and to draw us to him, was once the Paul who was so motivated to kill people who knew Christ. He was on the road seeking Christians because he despised them, and he despised the Christ that they followed, and he wanted them jailed and killed. And something happened, see, on his journey to do that, on that road, Jesus appeared to him. And really, in that moment, everything changed for him, and he realized that the one he'd been so hostile to was actually the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that he could truly know, safely base his life in eternity on. That's how it is for us. The invitation is there, you see, as we consider this in this passage, that as Paul desires this, that means that that's what God desires for us, to truly know Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And if God desires that for us, that's what we ought to desire for ourselves and for each other as we minister to each other in the body of Christ. Well, think about these two things. It's just these two main things that come out of this passage, that Jesus is the treasure house of knowledge. Verse 3, in him, this is what Paul wants them to know. He wants them to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is this. This is what he wants them to know, because God has made it known. That word mystery there, it's an interesting word. We think it means something hidden, but what it means in the scriptures is something that was hidden but is now revealed. It's made known. It's clear and obvious. And that's what he wants them to know. And this is what it is. It is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So just think about this for a moment. Think about one word in what he says there about Jesus, the word all. All, it is all-embracing, all-conclusive, that in the person of Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul is saying that for a reason, of course, in this letter, because he keeps alluding to the fact that amongst the believers there, there are other people that are basically saying, Paul's not right. His gospel is a little bit missing. Christ is not enough. And they're saying, well, you need this knowledge. You need this particular knowledge. You need this particular experience. And Paul is saying all of that is a denial of the gospel. It's all in Christ. If you have Christ and try to add something else, then you don't have Christ at all, because it's all in Him. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's a fascinating statement, isn't it? It's all in Him. What Paul is saying is to know, to actually have knowledge, to have understanding, to have wisdom and insight into all the great questions and answers of life, you have to know Him. You can read, you can study, you can Google, you can do everything and get knowledge. But the full picture is only found in the context of knowing Him. To have wisdom and knowledge and insight, we need to know Him. And to know Him is to have wisdom and knowledge and insight. It's not that we come to Jesus for the details of science, you know, how a spider's leg works. But the point is that Jesus Christ is the starting point. He's the lens, see, like the camera lens through which we view it all and have light and understanding. This is so important, I suggest, because Christianity is often painted in our current media. It just comes out in so many subtle ways, pushing back. And if there's a sitcom or a movie, the Christian is often painted either as the hard person, the ungracious person, or the person who's really a bit simple. And that kind of chips away, you see. The idea that Christianity is superficial or nerdy or dumb, that it's not really for thinkers, that it's all about sentiment and emotions, that we have to go elsewhere for true knowledge, but that's not what Paul is saying here. To know Christ is to have access to all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And the reality is that some of the greatest thinkers in world history were the greatest thinkers because they began with Him. They began with Him as God, as the Creator, the one who holds all things together, who gives order to all things, that even science, even the study of science is possible because there is an ordered and understandable universe. Because it was made by an ordered and knowable person. It's all there. Think about wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Those two words are significant too. They mean slightly different things. Knowledge tends to be knowing, understanding. Wisdom, biblical wisdom, is not only knowing and understanding, but it's knowing how to live in the light of what we know. To live wise lives because we understand. And again, that's rooted in Christ. You think about that issue of wisdom, it comes out so clearly, doesn't it, in the wisdom book in the Old Testament, the wonderful book of Proverbs. Let me just read a few verses from the Proverbs for you. The very beginning of the book of Proverbs, if you have a church Bible, it's page 527. The writer introduces it with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Here's the key theme of the whole book of Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Paul is saying that wisdom has come to us in a person that we can know and trust. Well, here's the great question and challenge for life. Can we really have wisdom and knowledge and insight, for example, about the world without knowing the one who made the world? Can we really have wisdom and knowledge and insight about world history without knowing the one who is the Lord of all history? Can we really have wisdom, knowledge, and insight about who we are without knowing the one who made us and who holds our very being together and who made us to know him? Can we really have wisdom and knowledge and insight about where we go when we die without knowing the one who has defeated death and has absolute authority over it? You see how in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think about that other word there, treasure. Paul says, in him are hidden all the treasures. That's a very precise word. A treasure is something precious, something to be valued, you see. When the writer to the Proverbs writes about wisdom, he views it as something precious. Let me read a couple of more verses that just write this home. In chapter 3 of the Proverbs, verse 13, he says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her," he personifies wisdom as a woman, her, he says, "for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing else can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor." See what the writer of the Proverbs is saying. Don't seek after those lesser things. Seek after the more precious thing, wisdom. And other things may follow. But the precious thing is wisdom. Chapter 4 and verse 5, he says this in real exhortation, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, that is wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, love wisdom, and she will guard you." And Paul is saying, that wisdom is in him. But again, you see, there's a worldly wisdom that kind of says, that's no wisdom. Paul wrestled with that in another place in his letter to the Corinthians. He was saying there, people look at Jesus and they think he's nothing. And they look at Jesus and they say, well, he died on a cross. What a awful, silly, shameful thing. He's nothing. Well, listen to what Paul says about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Verse 20, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" He says, "Greeks seek wisdom," but he says, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." The very wisdom of God is displayed in the work of the cross, that we might find treasure, eternal treasure in him. Do we treasure him as our wisdom? Think about counterfeits. I actually had to drive somewhere this morning, and so as I was driving back down the motorway, I was thinking about this. Paul is displaying who Christ is, because he has to really stand in opposition to those who are professing counterfeit faiths, counterfeit saviors, And I was thinking about the issue of counterfeits. So I thought I'd bring this along, because you may not have seen one of these. Does anybody remember this? It's money. It's cash. I don't often see cash because I use my plastic card all the time. This is a genuine New Zealand $20 note, right? And I was thinking about that in the light of our culture, because we live in a culture that believes in multiple truths. The idea that there are many truths and whatever's true for you is true, and that's okay. And I understand the heart and desire behind that. It's the idea that we can maybe all get along and stay at peace because we accept each other's truth. But it's helpful to think that through, you see. It's like this. So you could have a bunch of these that are not real, right? The counterfeit ones that someone else has made up with their very clever laser printer. Well, the thing is, only one of them is the genuine article. Only one of them is actually what we call legal tender, that I can buy something with. If I buy something with the others, I'm actually stealing because it's not real money. And it's like that with the issue of truth, you see. Can all of those truths exist together? And if those truths contradict each other at certain points, then how can they all be true? The Bible simply presents to us that there is one true truth. And there we find the answers to life. See, think about other truths, if they disagree on a fundamental question like this, if they disagree on how we gain eternal life, that's a crucial question. Okay, how do we get to live eternally? If there are different truths saying different things about that, then how can I ever have security about when I die? Now, I'm a pretty self-centered person and I want to live eternally. I want to know the truth. How can I know the truth? Well, the Bible says in the gospel and in the person of Jesus Christ, when we stand before God and there's this sense of what is it that allows you and enables you to enter into his presence, to know him and to be with him eternally? No counterfeit will do. No suggestion that, well, can I get in because I've tried really hard to be a good person? Or I've believed this philosophy or this idea? God simply says in his word, there is only one way. It is through the person of Jesus Christ, who is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. There is only safety in him. Here's the thing. As Paul's struggle is with differing philosophies that are drawing people away from that one truth, who is Jesus Christ, we face the same challenge as we work out the stuff of life. But think about this counterfeit illustration again. You know that when, in the States, when they trained special agents to deal with the whole problem of counterfeit money, and they trained them to be able to recognize counterfeit money. You know how they did it? You think that they would be trained by having to look at endless examples of counterfeits. That's not what they did. All they had to do was study the one true note. And as they knew that completely, then they could easily recognize the ones that were false. See, that's what's being called to us here. To know the truth is to study Christ. The more we study him, the more we know him, the more easily we can recognize everything that's false. You know, the reality is that so many of the people that end up in crazy cults and sects end up there because they've been drawn out of the Christian church because they had not studied Christ well enough to easily recognize the counterfeits. So Paul is calling us, you see, to study and know Jesus Christ and to see in him that he is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. Do you know that? For now, for life, for living, for eternity? Well, Paul, on the basis of that, is simply saying, if you know that, then live your life in him. See what he says in verse 6? Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Verse 8 says why he's saying this. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, etc., etc., not according to Christ. Again, in verse 4, he said, I say all of this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. You see what Paul is saying here? The foundation for life, it isn't simply an idea or a philosophy or life principles. It's a way of life in relationship to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we can know and who is trustworthy. He says three things. He says, walk in him, rooted in him, and build up in him. Three wonderful images. To walk in him is to live our whole life with reference to him in relationship to him. Letting him be our Lord and our Savior and our guiding principle. And then he says, being rooted in him, that's an image from plants. You see, having in our lives deep roots that go down deeply into the soil of Christ and being built up in him is the picture of a building on a solid foundation, a glorious, strong building. All of these images to say the foundation, the source of our life is him and to know him. Remember, I read one commentator the other day who said about Jesus Christ, he says, when we have Jesus Christ, we can ask of God no more. We have everything that we need for life and eternity. Well, there's a little tip here to put this into practice. He says in verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, see those words, as you received him, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. There's the little tip. How do we live our life in him? Well, Paul says, as you received him, as it was in the beginning. Do you remember that time when you received Christ or when you were awakened to him, to who he was for you? Do you remember when you turned to him in sin and need and repentance and trust in the glory of what he had done for you on the cross? And you recognized that you could trust your whole life to him and you saw that he was the most valuable thing that you could ever possess. Do you remember that? Well, Paul is saying, as you received him then, go on in your life in the same way, turning and trusting and recognizing him as the jewel of precious price above every other thing. He remains the same. That gospel that you first received remains the same. Paul's call to you and I this morning then is this, to recognize that he is the storehouse of all wisdom and knowledge, to completely trust yourself to him, to turn away from all counterfeits and go on in life studying Christ. Know him in his word, seek him in his word, seek him in the fellowship of believers, show him to each other so that we would never be led away by anything less or unworthy. Let me close with the words of this old hymn. I just thought of these words as I was thinking about this passage. A very old hymn, but lovely words. It says this. Let's just close with this. He says, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. Let's pray. Father, this morning we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Forgive us for the ways that we have sought such treasures elsewhere. Turn our hearts fully to him again, we pray, and keep us safe in him. Teach us to build our lives in him and help us to study him, to know him better and better, that in him we might find all we need for life and eternity. Help us in his name. Amen.